The closest I ever came to a mystical experience was through music. The first time was at a concert I went to kind of accidentally. I was just the age Jesselyn is now. I was starting at college, wanted to make sure to partake of some of the tremendous musical resources of the university, and thought if I bought a concert series, I'd make sure to get out of my dorm room and go to music several times. So that's how I came to be going to a concert by a percussion group I'd never heard of called Nexus. Still going, by the way. No particular interest in that particular concert, but there it was on my series, and off I went. And I was listening and enjoying the music, and then something happened that was more than listening, and far more than enjoyment. I have started traveling on the rhythms, in and out and through, and the music was everywhere, and I was everywhere, and the walls of the hall seemed to mean nothing, and the spaces between the people seemed to mean nothing. There was just rhythm and music, and something of myself floating upon it. Words are inadequate, just as mystics always say about their experiences. We've been warned likewise about music. Elvis Costello, who ought to know, warns that writing about music is like dancing about architecture. But words are part of my art form, so I'm doing my best. I had a similar experience right here. I was sitting right there, listening to the choir, singing a piece by Piazzolla. And Florence either really likes that one or doesn't. She likes it. Don't think I had ever heard it before the choir sang it. And I was just listening, closed my eyes to listen better instead of fretting about what was I about to say when they sat down and I stood up here. And then again, I was just traveling. I don't really believe that there's a part of me that travels independent of my body, and yet I felt myself go right up to the rafters with this music. And then the choir ended, and I came gently back down. And so it seemed natural that if we were going to talk about what we do, why we do what we do in the service, as I was inspired to do by a service that Dan gave last year, one of the services had to be about music. Something happens with music that seems inseparable from what we do in worship. So that the answer to the question, why is music such an important part of our worship, is just almost the non-answer. How could it not be? And it's not just worship, of course. I mean, it's a part of our lives in this congregation in many, many ways. I met recently with Bruce and the music committee because they were doing a visioning process about what shall they do next in music in the congregation. And I suggested that they list as many musical activities and opportunities of the congregation as they could. We ran out of room on the whiteboard. I won't name all the things that they said. But right here Sunday morning, we sing together. We have special music, a musician each week who plays three pieces once a month. That's Veronica, as it is today. We have the choir that sings almost every week, and junior choirs that sing now and then when people work with them in Sunday school. We have the Bodhi Tree concerts. And the first Sunday singers who just gather out on the patio and sing popular folk music together. The harmonic circle that gathers once a month and does similarly. Sacred Harp, an old hymn singing practice that began as an independent organization but has become very integrated into the music life of this congregation. At Christmas time, people gather to sing carols, and there's a pickup orchestra. I mean, I'm not near the end of this list. And then there's the other things that go on that aren't really connected to our congregation here, like we host a couple of community choruses, and there are recitals and concerts here, and folk groups meeting at least twice a month. It's a space for music in the community because just as we provide all sorts of spiritual, educational, justice resources for the community, music is a part of that. How could it not be? Again, how could it not be? Now, not everybody responds to music so powerfully as I do and Jessamyn does. I hear people say once in a while that music just doesn't do anything for them. But I do find that almost everybody responds to some music. And that usually when folks say that, it's just a matter that they're not being particularly inspired by the music that's dominant in their lives, or the music they feel they ought to like. And when you ask, what do you like to listen to? When you hear something that makes you stop and say, oh, I'm going to stay listening to this, what is that? And they'll say something romantic, period, Western classical, or Bollywood hits, or swing era jazz, or 60s rock, or 80s rap, or Broadway show tunes, nueva canción, folk country, there's something. Almost all of us have something that makes our body move. It makes our toes tap, it makes our eyebrows lift. That's, you know, kind of what uptight people do when they're really, really excited by music. Might be a white person thing. What makes our spirits rise? It's so amazing. We take it for granted that it happens. But it is amazing. It's an amazing thing. And really what's going on there is music is doing what we are here to do as a spiritual community. It works on the memory and sticks around long after other memories fail. It's something fun that we do together. It's a way of making beauty. It brings us happiness and joy. It's like the spiritual life, both solitary, extremely private, something we can do without an instrument or a voice, just in the silence of our own heads, we can create a concert hall and make music. And it's also communal and community building. I think for many of us, when we come and sing hymns together, it's the only time all week, every week, that we sing with other people. And then there's other things that happen that are so akin to what we are trying to do together. So let me share another musical experience that I've had in this congregation not long ago. I wanted to pay a pastoral call on a member who is losing their memory to dementia. They play the piano and can still do so, and although despite my teacher Veronica's best efforts, my piano skills are still very rudimentary, they're good enough for the beginning pieces in a teacher-student book. The teacher plays the more complex piece and the student plays something simpler, and you have a lovely four hands piano piece. So I brought one of these books with some trepidation to a visit and suggested that we play together, hoping that it would not be yet one more thing that they could no longer do. And we sat down and played together, and that tension and struggle to remember and all the distress that goes with that just fell away as this person played with me, playing perfectly. I wasn't playing perfectly, but they were. And even in this simple piece, we felt the joy of making music together. We were doing something that neither of us could do alone. Isn't that what we're here to do? Most of all, I was drawn to that passage from Oliver Sacks because it speaks to something I think music does for us when we gather here. Our lives are so fragmented. And I don't mean only the beyond the fragmentation, the gulfs between us. We're feeling so painfully this week with the terrible news about the cruelty we were carrying out toward immigrants, the tension in the world, our inability even for countries that are allies to be civil to one another. There's all of that fragmentation that we seek to repair. And music has a power to do that because of its universality. But also there's this great fragmentation of each of us the way we are split rather artificially within. Music unites the physical and intellectual and emotional and spiritual. It is so physical, as Jessalyn said, it's vibrations in the air working on our ears, and yet it takes us immediately to something else, to a deeply emotional place or spiritual place. So are those things even separate, the physical and the spiritual? And then there's what Sack says about it being so intellectual and also emotional. It makes me think of what Pablo Casals, the great cellist, said about Bach, that the music of Bach is a dormant volcano. Bach is so precise, ordered, mathematical, and yet the music can bring you to your knees, can cause you to weep. Where does it come from? And are the intellectual and emotional really separate if the volcano can erupt from that calm, calm surface? What is it that's even responding when we respond to music? It seems to be our whole selves, and so maybe those divisions are not so meaningful. The committee also shared, when I met with the music committee, we all shared peak experiences of music that we had had. And they ran the gamut from listening right here in this hall to music from the from countries that were in the band from our immigration, to being an acutely nervous performer, to singing a simple song together here, and something that ran through all of these experiences was a deep sense of connection. People spoke of that nervousness vanishing as they felt the seamlessness of themselves and the music, the composer, the audience, all of those frightening divisions vanishing. Feeling the unity of all the people singing, of the performers and the listener. Feeling the connection between ourselves and the whole world. That's a powerful thing that can do that. Drug addict indeed, I mean. That's a powerful, powerful thing. I get up here and talk for 20 minutes or so every week, but possibly the most perfect vehicle for what we are trying to do in worship is music. What music brings us is transcendence, firmly grounded. It is made of the physical world, the matter and energy of which we are constructed. And somehow it works on this physical being and shows us that we are something far beyond that at the very same time. We are right here, our bodies in the chair, our feet on the ground, and we are right up, and the rafters are far beyond. That's how we do transcendence here. We use deep humanists and skeptics, physical beings who respect the physical world and its laws, and yet intellect and emotion and spirit are all there too. So when we're listening to music, we're living the connection between these parts of ourselves. When we're making music, we are living into the realization, which is beyond words, that although we distinguish between them in our language and we say this aspect of life, that aspect of life, they are really one integrated whole. And that whole is not separate from what is outside it either. Other people, other beings, the air, the rocks, the history of this planet, the universe, the music itself that breathes through it. So, as our service continues, sink into the music and rise with the music and go where it takes you. Who knows where that will be? We will listen to some of the most beautiful music human beings have created. People just like us, just living a normal lifespan and pulling this music out of who knows where to give to us, delivered to us by Veronica as she and the choir and Bruce have delivered it to us already. We will sing a simple song together, and our simple throats and tongues and lips and ears will create something amazing. Let us see what may emerge when we go, we know not where, wherever the music will take us. So now,